السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. الحمد للہ وحدہ والصلاۃ والسلام علی من لا نبی بعدہ. ونشهد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا ايها الذين امنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: رب صائم ليس له من صيامه الا الجوع، ورب قائم ليس من قيامه الا السهر. صدق اللہ العظیم وصدق رسوله النبی الکریم. علماء کرام، most respected brothers, we continue with the same subject, and that is fasting in the month of Ramadan. And it is only appropriate that we should be dealing with this subject, which has got different angles, different dimensions. It is not just the giving up of eating and drinking. It is in fact a reformation and a complete transformation of a person's life. It is a disciplining of a person's self. The 11 months of the year we are being bombarded by both nafs and shaitan. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, out of his fazal and kindness, gives us this one month in which we only have to contend with our nafs. Shaitan or shayateen are changed, but this nafs, which in reality made shaitan also shaitan, because it was his nafs that told him, خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن طِين. So nafs is more dangerous than shaitan. In fact, he became shaitan because of his nafs. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala makes it easy for us that we have to only fight this one enemy, and that is nafs. And it is not impossible or difficult to change the nafs. The nafs can, from the state of ammara bisu, that means that nafs which encourages a person, which takes a person, goads a person, directs a person, pulls and drags the person in the direction of haram, in the direction of evil, in the direction of sins, glorifies the sins and presents it to him. When the person is committing sins, it glorifies it. So this nafs, which is sometimes ammara bisu, that means it takes the person or whispers or drags the person and goads the person into haram and sins. But it is not impossible to change that condition. We can bring it to the nafs, which we term as nafs lawwama. That means the person after that has some kind of a conscience. Just by explanation, is some kind of a conscience that it now worries him. Before, there was no worry at all. In the disco he was quite happy, in the rave club he was quite happy, with his illicit love relationships he was quite comfortable. There was no kind of pain or no kind of aggravation or any kind of discomfort that he was suffering when he was in those sinful places. But now when he has disciplined it and brought it to the level of lawwama, so now this nafs, that same nafs, what it does now is it tries to reproach the person. The person now becomes worried. He gets a bit of discomfort. He is now restless. He no more enjoys those sins. He commits it, but is not enjoying it anymore. Now it has come to a stage where he has become a person that is conscious of the fact that he is the banda of Allah Ta'ala. He is answerable to Allah Ta'ala on the day of judgment. So now this nafs is no more comfortable like how it was before. So we can see that he brought it up one stage. And then from there also the person can bring it to the stage of mutma'inna. یا ایتها النفس المطمئنہ ارجعی الی ربک راضیہ مرضیہ فادخلی فی عبادی وادخلی جنتی. So he can even raise it from there to the stage of mutmainna. With all the other explanations that are there of what nafsa mutmainna is, but there is no time to go into all those details. But just in layman's language, that now the person becomes very, very happy and contented and satisfied with whatever is the command of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. His nafs now become pleased with the fulfillment of the command of Allah ta'ala. Before, just as he was getting enjoyment in sins, now the person gets enjoyment in the fulfillment of the commands of Allah ta'ala. He believes that this is a command from my beloved Allah. And who does not like to fulfill a command from the beloved? Just an ishara of the beloved is sufficient for the person to travel distances. Just an ishara, just an indication that something is beloved to me. So this person, even if it is an illicit beloved of his, then he will go out of his way just to make sure that the person fulfills the desire of the beloved. So if that is the case with the worldly beloveds, then what about Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala? Should he not be more beloved to us than everything that is in this world? And in fact, both the worlds. Because who else has given us life besides him? Who has given us our sight, hearing and speech besides him? So this command and this hukam of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is also to such believers, that ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, that you have already believed. And if you are a believer, that means your love for Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is intense. There is no doubt in the fact that you have got great love for Allah ta'ala. In fact, Allah ta'ala mentions in the Quran Sharif, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبَّا لِلَّهِ. Allah ta'ala is saying that the love of the believers is intense for Allah ta'ala. I mean, there cannot be a person who is believing and he doesn't have that kind of love for Allah ta'ala. His love for Allah ta'ala has to be intense, then only is a true believer. So this command of Allah ta'ala is also directed at such people, as we discussed last week also. That this command Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala could have given in a very, very harsh manner. That you have to fast, if you don't fast, I'll send you to the prison. And that prison is hellfire. Allah ta'ala could have just mentioned that much. But how beautifully he puts it across to us that I have prescribed this fasting upon you as I prescribed on those before you. And again, look at the benefits of this fasting, that you must develop taqwa in your life. You will be able to discipline yourself. You will become God conscious. This nafs of yours will come under control. And then when you are able to discipline and control your nafs, and you are able to restrain yourself from those things that Allah Ta'ala is displeased with and annoyed, then what is going to happen is that now you will be able to draw from the treasures of Allah Ta'ala, whose treasures are unlimited. It is only Allah Ta'ala's that is unlimited. The richest person also, he fears some kind of poverty. If a person is a multi-billionaire also, then he too is fearing poverty. He feels that someday if there is some kind of a coup d'etat, or the king fears coup d'etat, and this multi-billion person too, he thinks that if there is a shake-up of the earth and all his fortune has to vanish, or there is a crash on the stock exchange, so then that will bring him crashing down also. How many shares they were? They were right on top at one time, and people were bragging about the amount of shares they are holding in this company and that company. And then suddenly they say there was a crash. So all those people came down crash landing too. So they also fear that some kind of poverty can overtake them. Therefore, even the charities, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has said that the greatest reward is for that charity. If you have to look at the mafhum of the hadith sharif, the greatest reward is for that charity. When a person is fit, he is healthy, and he is fearing that if I have to give away, there can be poverty. My fortune will lessen. Now, in that good health, and when he's got that kind of a fear also, when he is giving at that time, then that is most rewarded. Why? Because when the person's death is approaching, when his one leg is already in the grave, or is in a state of sakarat, then at that time the person will say, take away this, take away that, take away that. What does it matter? Because he's not going to be able to use it again anymore. So Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says that when you're going to develop this taqwa in you, then you will become the friend of Allah ta'ala. Allah ta'ala will love you. Inna Allah yuhibbul muttaqeen. Allah Ta'ala loves those who have got taqwa in them. Now the starting point is that love of Allah Ta'ala, that if we've got that, then we will appreciate all the rest of it. But if we think that we are independent, just because we've got everything with us, so we're independent. So there's nobody independent in this world. Each and every person for every breath of his is dependent on Allah Ta'ala. Look at those people who have sudden attacks, angina attack, heart attack, asthmatic attack. How difficult it becomes to breathe. At that time we appreciate these breaths which we are taking in and out. We inhaling and exhaling and we think absolutely nothing about it. We go to the toilets and we relieve ourselves, we think nothing about it. We don't even consider that as some kind of ni'mat of Allah Ta'ala. But ask those people who have some kind of obstruction and they are unable to relieve themselves. Look at the pain they have to undergo. That can be a rahmat for them, it's a different story. But when we look at them, then we take lessons that look at these people. When we also have got that kind of health, shouldn't we be appreciating this? So nobody is independent. Allah Ta'ala kept us like that. We are slaves of Allah Ta'ala. بِجَمِيعَ أَعْزَائِهِ وَبِجَمِيعَ أَجْزَائِهِ, as it is said. With every part of our body, with every limb and every breath and everything, we are muhtaj and dependent on Allah Ta'ala. So then we have to develop that love for Allah Ta'ala so that we become His friends. And when we are His friends, then Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala will then give us from His treasures. Allah Ta'ala loves the muttaqeen, the people who have got taqwa in them. So taqwa is not only in the masjid, that when we're in the masjid, we got taqwa, that we are controlling our gazes, we're controlling our thoughts, controlling our minds, and we're not stealing, we're not taking away people's shoes and wallets and cell phones. We say, I got a lot of taqwa because in the masjid, if I see anybody's wallet around, then I write on the board there, wallet found. And if somebody's cell phone is missing, then I found it, then I will put on the board there and make announcement also, cell phone found. But when we go outside there, and when we go into our business houses, then after that we forget that there we were very much concerned about that 5 rand that we found. And we were saying, make double announcement, 5 rand found. And now they in the business, then there's cheating, this, or in organizations, embezzling of funds. Or the person when it comes to virasat and inheritance matters, this person is now in charge of the properties of orphans, of widows. But at that time the person sees that according to the government law I can get half the property or all the property because the will was un-Islamic. So there he forgets that I was making a big loud announcement of that 5 rand that I found in the masjid. Jis jahan mein rahun, jis fiza mein rahun, mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. Whichever place I stay, whether I'm on the earth or in the skies, whether I'm in the aeroplane or whether I'm on the station platform or whether I'm in the masjid or whether I'm in the home or in the business. Mera taqwa hamesha salamat rahe. My taqwa must remain salamat. Hazrat Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah Alayhi, a person came to him, he stayed some time and after that he gave him khilafat. Then again after some time he came back and he came with a little son of his. So he said, this is my son. He said, what is his age? He said, he just completed 12 years. So he said, did you pay full ticket or did you buy half ticket? That is the sheikh who is concerned about disciplining those murids. Not just dish out khilafat and then sit down and relax. And not just get to dish out some wazifa and say, read this so many times. That every step of the person has to be checked. So now here's a khalifa of his and he's asking him, he said, the son that you brought, you say he completed his 12 years. What does the regulation say? What does the train and railway regulation say? He said, the regulation says that every person over 12 must buy a full ticket. So he said, did you buy a full ticket? He said, no, I bought half. So why did you buy half? He says, because he looked a little small. And he would have got away. So he took away his khilafat. He said, no khilafat for you. If you are going to do this, then what are your murids going to do? They say, if the citizen is going to steal an egg, or if the king is going to steal an egg, then the citizens are going to steal fowls. If the king was going past somewhere, and he put one egg in his pocket or one potato in his pocket, then the citizens of that country, they are now going to steal the sheep and cattle and everything. Because from the top, if the person is going to steal small, then others will steal big. But the point here is that is taqwa. that there was nobody to watch and he could have got away, but that was the regulation. Now look at in our lives, how many places, if the person can get away like this, then we brag about it. We say, I just palmed that person's hand, gave him a little bit and he allowed me to go. If it is his business or if he has got the right, he's got the authority, then within those means, if he does something, it's permissible. But many a times you find people going to the parks, they're going to some other kind of places where they have to pay an admission fee. And if there is somebody at the box there, and he says, well, alright, it's going to cost you 100 rand per person, but if you give me, and you all are 10 people, it's going to cost you 1,000 rand. But you give me 100 rand, I'll let you all go. So we all will get excited and very happy and we'll brag about it that, see, I got away. And how lucky we were that we paid 100 rand and we got away. But that doesn't belong to him. He's only employed there. So this is just an example I gave to you. But that is what taqwa is, that the person is conscious. Therefore, Hazrat Maulana Wasiullah Rahmatullah Alayhi to say that what is the whole purpose of this exercise of fasting and everything else that Allah Ta'ala has given him, given to us? What is the whole purpose? It is not there just to keep us hungry, keep us thirsty. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself is saying that there are many people who through the fast get nothing except hunger. Hunger and thirst, that's all they get. And staying awake, they get nothing except loss of sleep. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says that if a person does not give up lies and practicing upon that lies, that means he doesn't give up all those kind of sins. So then Allah Ta'ala is not in need of him giving up his food and drink. فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ Allah Ta'ala is not in need of it. أَنْ يَدَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابًا That he gives up his drink and he drinks up his food. Allah Ta'ala is not in need of that. So therefore he says that the whole purpose of this sort, making fasting obligatory and all that, is that we get حَيَاتِ قَلْبِ That our hearts must become alive. At present our hearts are dead. Therefore nothing seems to be taking an effect. Our hearts are dead. Somebody is told to one great alim that our hearts have gone to sleep. So he said, if our hearts were gone to sleep, then a sleeping person, if you shake him, he gets up. Unless he's a log. Unless the person is a log. If you shake him up, he must get up. But with all the shake-ups that Allah Ta'ala is giving around the world, we're still not getting up. Look at the shake-ups that Allah Ta'ala is giving. Different parts of the world, right in our country. And how many times in history and in our own lives we have been given a shake-up. But after a little while we just go back to square one. We don't get up. So he said, therefore the hearts are not gone to sleep, they've gone dead. So he says, the purpose of this whole thing is that to get hayat-e qalbi, that our hearts must become alive. We know that when a chick is fully formed inside the egg, when it is fully formed, then it uses its own beak to crack the shell of that egg. Doesn't wait for the mother hen to now crack the shell and come outside. The chick from within the egg, it uses its beak and it knocks the shell off and it comes out. And it begins to do exactly the same thing that the mother hen is doing. It starts picking up the seeds and the grains from the ground. And it follows in the mother's footstep. Why? Because the chick got hayat now, it got life. So when the life came into the chick, it started doing exactly that what the hen was doing. So this is what we are required, that we must bring life into our hearts through this fasting, that we become conscious that my Allah is watching. Jo karta hai to chupke ahle jahan se koi dekhta hai tujhe aasman se. You heard this meditation. So when that taqwa will come, then hayat-e qalbi, it means the person has gone. As Mujaddid Millat Rahmatullah says, tayakkuz at all times in a person's life, that the person is conscious. We must not live a life of ghaflat. Jo ghaflat mein guzre, wo kya zindagi hai, wo jina nahi, balki sharmindagi hai. Teri yaad mein, your remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, guzri jo zindagi, wo hi zindagi hai. Yaad mein teri, guzri jo zindagi, wo hi zindagi hai. So in ghaflat, whatever our life is passed, that is not life. So this fasting, if it cannot discipline us, so that the rest of the year also we remain disciplined. So then it means that the only thing we have done is stayed away from food and drink. we get some kind of sawab that we kept some fast, and any mufti that we will ask, the mufti will give fatwa that your fast is valid because you did not eat and drink and you did not have any carnal relationship, so therefore your fast is valid. Now that is a fatwa that they will give. But that is not taqwa. We always say what is fatwa and what is taqwa. So now that is fatwa. That your fast is valid. For the purposes of validity, we will say your fast is valid. But will you be able to get the rewards? Will we be able to get all those promises that Allah Ta'ala has promised with regards to fast? Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, all the promises that He has made to the fasting people. The acceptance of du'as and everything else. And all the promises that we find in the Hadith Sharif. Can we get that just on fatwa? The fatwa is the fast is valid, but if the person didn't control his gaze from haram, his food was not halal, the person was using interest money, gambling money, other kinds of monies for his iftar and for his sehri, the person has not made sincere tawbah from all the sins, he has no intention of returning to whomsoever whatever is due, the person still has all the numbers of his illicit beloved, and sometimes beloveds, and sometimes mistress, and sometimes mistresses. He still got all the numbers on his cell phone. And his communication is still on in the month of Ramadan also. And sometimes it is even going to the extent of zina too. The person says, I kept a fast from morning till evening, I didn't do anything. But after the iftar, then what he saw on the TV, movies, and what he engaged in, so the fatwa will be that the fast is valid. That is the fatwa. But the rewards have not been promised on fatwa. The rewards are promised on taqwa. Allah Ta'ala says, if you got taqwa, then وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ. If you got taqwa, then that is the promise. According to some, it is 13 places in the Quran Sharif. According to some, it is more indirectly. And Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah Alayhi has written in one kitab about 40 benefits. So now all those benefits will come when the person has got taqwa. So let us not just go by the fatwa that our fast is valid. Validity of fast is a different thing. And if we really and truly want the rahmat of Allah Ta'ala, mercy, forgiveness and all the benefits, then we have to adopt taqwa. And taqwa is not again the standing on one leg and reading some wazifa 100,000 times. Taqwa is abstaining from all that which Allah Ta'ala has forbidden and prohibited and doing what He has commanded. Simple and easy, that is Islam. There's no extremism in Islam. You are not told to do anything that is beyond your capacity or beyond your means. May Allah Ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardship, the pain, the suffering of mankind around the globe. We have to pray for everybody. We must pray Allah Ta'ala bless them with hidayat, with guidance, bless them with Islam and Iman. And the believers, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, in this Mubarak month, shower His rahmat, His mercy, His forgiveness, and increase the spirituality and make us reach that stage of the muttaqeen, so that we may be the beneficiaries of all the ni'mats and bounties that Allah Ta'ala has promised, both in this world and in the akhirah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.